judicial forces.
Yes,
I think. Well, holding judicial forces are very, very fair. In the administrative sphere, I think there has been a sort of partiality towards the unit. But as between two series, they were very fair.
Did you face peculiar problems in Tamil areas from in view of the fact that you were Sinhalese?
No.
No, I was wondering whether there was hostility or suspicion, a greater gap?
Nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at that time.
And an aspect bearing on the question of your rapport and with the peasantry and your interest in the village. Before, say, 1940, though the motor car had come in, the road system is not as developed as it is today. And for one thing, I don't think you had jeeps then. Am I correct?
1940? No, I don't think so.
You see, so after that, with improving communications,
yes,
it means that even more than before, an officer could set out for a destination, see to his job, and get back to his home.
Yes.
In this sense, while you can do more,
yes,
you meet the people less.
Yes. Yes.
So I was wondering,
yes,
what the situation was in, say, the late 30s.
But although you meet the people less, you meet them more often. In the days of, say, Bullock car traveling, the government agent goes on his circuit. And he spends quite a lot of time with the villagers, no doubt. But he is back again, and he doesn't go that way again for another year.
Yes, but isn't... Now, did you have any experience of Bullock car traveling?
No.
Say, in those days, yeah, once they went out, they had to stay the night sometimes. And so they chatted for a longer time and got a deeper knowledge in that one visit.
In those days means?
Prior to even the motor car, of course, it would have been like that.
Yes, yes.
But, of course, a lot depends on the extent of roads too.
Yes.
Even in the initial years of the motor car, certain places you couldn't have gone there by motor car, so you would have had to go by some other means.
And therefore you meet the people, have more contact with the people.
A deeper contact.
Deeper contact, yes. Yes.
Whereas nowadays it's a brief, flashy visit.
Yes.
Though you might visit them more often.
Yes. That is true. Yes. I think as far as understanding the conditions of life in the rural area, there probably was more at that time than now.
The very fact that you were spending some time with them meant that you were taking in more of the tempo of village life.
Yes, yes.
Now, for instance, I wonder whether a public servant of today, of Wolfe's intellectual caliber, could write a book like Village in the Jungle. You know, today, say Wolfe was here today as a youngster.
Yes.
Whether he would get to know the villagers in the same way as he did in 1907?
No, not through his official life, no, unless he did it outside his official sphere. He would be able to write a book like Living the Jungle, written by Wolfe.
Even in the, say he came in the late 30s?
Yes.
Would he have been able to write such a book? I was wondering what conditions
were like. In the late 30s, I think he would have been able to accept this fact that he just didn't have the time. Wolfe had plenty of time to write all this. Nowadays, you don't have the time to do it. The volume of work is so large.
Yes, did you find that there were increasing claims by MPs and others for you to open their cooperative, yes, on a Sunday or something,
yes,
like that?
Yes, yes. Yes, they are.
Did this mean that you have to work late into the night sometimes?
Actually, sometimes opening, going out to open schools and so on. No, not necessarily.
No, office work?
Office work, just the volume of work. Just the volume and that, and if you wanted to do it thoroughly, it did mean bringing work home and working too late.
What about the question of private interest? In the sense that Sudanese civil servants were not banned from owning land, were they? You could own land.
Yeah.
But in the 19th century, after some unfortunate experiences, the European civil servants were banned from owning land.
I believe so. I'm not sure, but I believe there was some restriction.
So why wasn't it extended to the Sudanese? And anyway, the main point is, did it could it influence their work?
No, I have never sort of studied it that way. I always thought that we had to get permission to buy land, we were Sudanese, because I think it was that the government viewed with disfavor our getting involved in any litigation with the people.
Okay.
If the land was encumbered and things like that, there might be litigation over it. And the government didn't like the idea of the common servant getting involved like that.
But if it was not encumbered, they didn't mind?
I don't think they mind. We had to apply. And so long as we were able to pay for it and not take loans, they had no objection.
Now, I was wondering whether the fact that they had two interests might affect their public performance. And this is just
the... If you get involved, yes. If you get involved, then it will affect affect your work.
No, for instance, I mean, there are one or two cases of public servants who have estates, but not merely have estates, spend some time managing the estates, you see, which means that they have to take time off somewhere or the other from their public duty.
I don't think that was the reason why they objected to it. I think because even if you have to take time off and do that, yeah, you can always take time off within certain limits. There are a certain amount of leave is available to you.
For instance, I wonder whether this would affect their attitude to, say, Philip Gunawanda's paddy land space. They had lots of andhakaryas.
Yeah.
Their attitude to this bill wouldn't be all that favorable, would it, if it was going to affect their estate?
But I do not think that was a consideration at that time when these restrictions were first introduced. I do not think they had any such idea in mind.
No, I was wondering about the effect. Well, isn't this, in principle, isn't this bad?
That is?
Let them have such wide economic interests.
Public service?
Yes, landed interests.
Landed interests.
I can't see a solution, but...
yes, I think in that sense, it is, because then you are a landowner and you are directly in clash with the lessees, the tenants. So it could be objectionable, actually.
And I'm not certain of it, but is it correct to say that most top grade and even middle grade officers in the service have other sources of income apart from their wages, chiefly land?
Yes, yes. I don't know whether you could say most of the people, but quite a number.
Quite a number.
Yes.
I don't know whether this is permitted in other countries. That it'd be interesting to find that out. Certainly, they are allowed to buy stock, which is a yeah. kind of economic interest anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But land, I'm not certain about.
I don't. In other countries, mm-hmm. I don't know. But can you curtail the impose these restrictions on the freedom of people just because they happen to be public servants?
If as I said, I'm not certain yeah. what one can do, but yeah. Theoretically, it seems bad. What I'm wondering about is whether in practice,
yes,
it
operated
at all. Yes,
I'm not aware whether in practice there has been any case where a person owning land is his interests clash with his duties. I'm not personally aware of it.
End of interview with W.D. Gunaratne on the 28th of June, 1967.